Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of Women Lawyers Online, and today I am so pleased to bring you Kimberly Childs. Kim grew up in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in a small town of Habersham County, Georgia. After she obtained her undergraduate degree at North Georgia College in Dahlonega, she moved down to the big city and obtained her Juris Doctor degree at Georgia State University College of Law in downtown Atlanta. At Georgia State, Kim served on the editorial board of the Law Review, was a pupil with the Bleckley Inn of Court, received numerous academic honors, including the Outer Barrister Guild Award, and graduated magna cum laude. Kim began her practice as an associate attorney on the business litigation team of Hunton & Williams, an Am Law 50 law firm founded in 1901. While practicing at Hunton, Kimberly represented large corporations in complex litigation matters. In 2005, Kim left Hunton to join a litigation boutique in Midtown, where she continued to represent businesses in sophisticated commercial disputes. In 2007, Kim opened her own business and commercial litigation firm, the Childs Law Firm, LLC, which merged in the summer of 2009 to form Berger & Childs. The firm represents businesses in a variety of civil matters, including contract disputes, challenges to IP rights, trade secrets claims, real estate disputes, including landlord and tenant issues, and general corporate governance matters. In 2009 and 2010, Kim was named as one of Georgia's Super Lawyers Rising Stars by Atlanta Magazine. She also received recognition from the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers as a committee star, as well as receiving the Vinings Rotary Club Best New Rotarian Award in 2008. Kim currently serves as chair for committees in the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers and the Cobb County Bar Association Business Litigation Section. She stays active in her community, including past service on the board of directors for the Smyrna Business Association in 2008 and 2009, and current service on the Smyrna Education Foundation Board of Directors, which she started this year and she continues to the present. Kim is a member of Trinity Presbyterian Church, where she serves on the board of directors for the church-sponsored Parents Morning Out and assists with teaching Sunday school for preschoolers. Kim lives in Smyrna, Georgia, with her husband, who she met in high school, and their two children, Catherine, who is 6, and Benjamin, who is 4, as well as their dog, Bragg. In her spare time, Kim enjoys cheering for her children as they learn various organized sports, playing tennis with her family, and avidly supporting the Atlanta Falcons as they begin their Super Bowl run. Oh, Kim, so good to have you on the line today.
Thanks so much, Kendra. It's my pleasure.
You know, it's great to have you, and I would love to just jump right into the questions and start our conversation there. Does that sound all right?
Sounds good to me.
Excellent. Well, Kim, I'm wondering, as you look back on your personal and professional or legal history and your past, would you say that you've always been good at balancing kind of competing interests in your life, your personal and your professional, or was there a time or a pivotal point that came when you made a very conscious decision to change and do something different?
There was a very precise time when I just made a decision to reevaluate what my priorities were and kind of what I was doing. I'm one of those people that overcommits and likes to be involved in a gazillion things, and I was really, really involved. And we had one child at the time, and she was about 18 months. We were coming back. My husband and I were coming back from vacation, and we looked at each other and realized we hadn't seen each other and talked to each other, and all we'd been doing was fighting and not getting along. And that's when I realized that I was doing a really bad job of balancing work and family. I'd completely focused on work and community service and family and husband and being a mom, really dropped off the radar, and I did a really, really bad job of it. And probably if I had not said, wait a minute, everything that I really love, I mean, I love my work, but I also love my family, is kind of fading away from me here, I probably would have gotten a divorce. So it was one of those situations where it's a huge wake-up call. And you mentioned that I met my husband in high school, and I did. We went to high school together, went to undergrad together. He's known me since I was 15 years old, and I realized I'd ignored him for about 6 mm-hmm. years. And that's a really bad way of balancing. That's not how you do that. So I took a look at kind of what I was doing. It was a huge wake up call for me, and I'll tell you it was that pivotal point. And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead with some other questions, but the first thing that I had to do was figure out, what did I want? What did it mean to me to have balance? What was really important to me? And that was kind of, I had to figure that out for myself. And one of the things I quickly realized is my definition of success is very different from other women. And I really encourage anyone who might be reading this or hearing this to figure out what's your definition of success? Not what is, what does, this organization think success is, or what does the partners that you work for, what do they think success is, or the people who've come before you, but what's success for you? And it's so different for each person. And once I stopped kind of adopting what I think, I don't know if it's society or institutions or what, but everyone else's definition of success and making it my own, it was easier to balance. Like, these are the things that are important to me. And I was then able to put my time, I was better able to balance my time in accordance with my priorities.
I think that is such a crucial thing to remember, that our own definition of success is what matters. And like you said, I don't even know where that other definition comes from. Maybe it's just sort of historically handed down, or it's society, or maybe it's more of a masculine model of success, and we women sort of think about what success looks like a little bit differently, not to overgeneralize, but I don't know what it is, but I think we all have a picture of what it looks like, and yet for most of us, it doesn't really fit. So as you said, it's so crucial to take the time to figure out what does that look like just for you, not for anybody else, because that's really who matters when you're deciding and designing your life and your career around it. Is deciding for you what success looks like. So thank you for bringing that point up, because it's so critical.
And I think that, if I would have been a little wiser at the time, which, isn't hindsight 2020, I would have felt what I've talked to so many women, and they've told me that they've experienced the same thing, and that you feel very overwhelmed, and you're doing a lot of, you're fulfilling a lot of roles, and you're doing a not very good job of any of them. You're a wife, and you're a mom, and you're a friend, and you're an employee, and you're a daughter, and all for me, maybe the employee was averaging about a B+ on the service I was doing there. The wife was definitely an F, and my friends were getting a huge shaft. Because friends, that's a relationship that you have to build. Mm-hmm. And for a mom, I probably was getting a C+, and that's just because I'd hired a really, really good nanny. So just my hiring skills served me well on that. But now I do feel like I figured it all out a little bit better, and I figured out what my definition of success is, and that's helped me in figuring out where I'm going to spend my time. It's also helped me with the guilt of not feeling like I'm giving everyone, 150%, because my mom told me you can't have it all, and I didn't like hearing it. I thought I could, and you maybe you can be everything to everyone, just not at the same time. I don't know that I quite believe that. I don't think you can be everything to everyone. I think that you've got to figure out which ones are most important to you.
Exactly. I think and I'm just kind of writing down some of your words there, that there's that question of can we have it all, or can't we, or is it, like you said, can we be everything to everyone, or can we have it all but not at the same time? And there's that whole thinking about what does it mean to have it all. But maybe it goes back to deciding what it all looks like. And actually, one of the things I've done some writing on is it's not about having it all, it's about having what matters. So you kind of get to pick and choose what matters. And so having it all isn't the standard that we're trying to reach, but it's about having what matters. And that goes back to like what you said, having that idea of actually what you really want and what your definition of success is.
And it's hard too to stick with your own definition of success. Once I started my own firm, I routinely got the questions of, well, now that you're your own boss, you get to spend more time with your family. Mm. Well, for me, that actually wasn't true. I worked a lot with larger firms, but when you work for yourself, you work even more. And when I started, I didn't have any clients, so I was building client base, and I was working a lot, and I probably spent less time at home. But then I realized, wait a minute, I have as much time as I want. It's my choice to build a practice that requires me to work an obnoxious amount of hours because I actually like it. I found that I like working for my clients and working a lot. I mean, I take the time. I have the freedom to take the time for my family that I want to. But it's actually my choice now, which it makes me sound very, I think it makes me sound a little cold and callous sometimes because people don't understand why I don't want to be home for dinner, you know, why it's not important for me to be home and cook dinner for my family every night. Well, I'm a lousy cook. Everyone's cranky at dinner time, and it's a mess to clean up. And I've got somebody who's a really good cook, doesn't think anyone's cranky, and loves to clean it up. And so for me, this is what I like, and it's what kind of makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And when folks ask me, do you get to spend more time with your babies now, right? And I say I have the freedom to spend as much time as I want with them, which is the actual truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, that you have the freedom to do that and the choice. I mean, that's the thing, is finally having that choice and not feeling that choices are forced upon you by outside circumstances or by the law firm or by anyone else, but that you have the freedom. And I think that just having that freedom to do what works best for you and what works best for your family, because, you know, if you come home and you're cranky because mm-hmm. you know, everyone else is cranky and you don't want to cook and you're feeling self-conscious about your cooking, who knows? Are you really able to be really completely, fully present for your family? Or is it just making a situation worse? I mean, I think sometimes we have to be self-aware, which it sounds like you completely are, about our own limitations and what we would be bringing or not bringing to a situation and what that feels like for us and what other people are picking up from us in that moment. So it sounds like when you have the freedom to make those choices, you can take a look at what works best for everyone and figure out the best option.
And I think these were some things that I was thinking about with one of your questions about considering what was the biggest challenge or struggle in attempting to create success in my personal and professional life is got to be figuring out, you know, again, I don't feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but making sure I knew what that meant for me. And, I mean, the challenge is, It wasn't anyone else that was giving me a challenge. It was me doing it to myself, kind of, and saying, okay, I'm supposed to be at home with my family for dinner, so I'm going to rush home and be miserable for an hour and a half so that I'm checking a box that someone else has told me I need to check.
Mm-hmm.
And now for the woman lawyer who it is, you know, the joy of her day to go home for her family meal, she should do that. She should absolutely do that. And it's, you know, one of my favorite things to do with my kids is to make sure that they go with me to Falcons training camp once a year. And I take them out of school, and I take a day off from work, and we go and watch football practice, basically, is what it is. But, you know, that's something that, and that's our special time, and that's what we do. And figuring out kind of what it is for each different woman, I think, is a challenge. I'm also a big proponent of sometimes you can't figure out yourself without a little bit of help. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's from friends, or one of the things that I had the opportunity to participate in through a leadership program I was involved in is having one of these things called a DISC assessment done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something like Myers-Briggs or whatever, but it
yep.
talked about, you know, what my needs were and what my tendencies were, and it was focused on the work environment, but it's so true for my personal life as well. And I think it kind of, I knew all these things about myself, but I think it really brought it to the front of my consciousness of, hey, Kim, this is what you're all about. So when I'm trying to figure out, why is it that I feel so frustrated in this situation? It's because that's kind of, I'm trying to force myself into either behavior or a situation that's just not natural for me. And I'm trying to get the, and I think we all struggle with it, but the self-awareness and the self-consciousness to stay out of those situations now.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, you know, you've done even sometimes tests or personality tests, things to help you understand a little bit more about yourself it explains so much, be it DISC or Myers-Briggs, or there's a whole gamut of different things out there. Or it, maybe it looks like seeing a professional, a coach or a therapist or something. But to try to tease through all these things on our own, it's a daunting task, figuring out, you know, what success looks like and what your vision for your life and your business and your practice looks like. Sometimes we can do it on our own, and sometimes we need some assistance. And that's not a personal failing. That's just human nature. They're big, huge questions, and to have some support on them is a good thing, be it just an idea of who you are and your preferences and your needs and your own reactions, so that you're not quite so hard on yourself. You know how you're wired, or maybe it's just someone to help you talk through things. But I think it's great that you identified sometimes you need to go outside of yourself and find something to support you as you're figuring things out.
And if you approach it the same way that you would approach any other thing that we do in our careers, whether it's a meeting with a client, you're not going to go and meet with a client and without having done some research, and you're not going to research just on, you know, without using some type of tool to help you do that, to help you know, have more information in order to better advise a client. It's the same way with yourself. You need more information about yourself, and whether, you know, where you've, there are tools out there to help you get that information. If you're so fortunate enough to have a mentor or friends that are honest enough with you to give you some straight feedback, that's great. I did not have that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have that kind of people support network, but I know people who have, and that's a you know, just someone to help you kind of challenge what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it.
Exactly, and understand yourself, because I think it's so hard to be objective about ourselves when we're living inside our own head. I mean, sometimes it takes that third person view to help us tease out what's going on a little bit. So I think it's great to have that. Again, if you can go to a friend or a trusted person or a clergy person or whatever it takes, but just to be willing to do that homework on yourself. I love how you put that. Cripes, nowadays we'll Google something or do research in the blink of an eye on just about anything that we find interesting. But you point out something really intriguing, is that we rarely do that kind of research on ourselves, and yet we're the ones who have to live with ourselves our entire lives, and to know a little bit more about our own tendencies, our own rationales, the reasons why do what we do and why we do them, and like you said, maybe where some of our frustrations come from. It makes it easier to understand what's going on between our ears and find ways to make up for it if we need to.
Once I was able to kind of help myself get out of whatever that was, where I was confused, I was overwhelmed, I wasn't pleasing myself, and I surely wasn't pleasing anyone else around me, or at least that's how I felt. And I had the big G word, guilt, over everything. I felt, if I was at work, I felt guilty for being at work. If I was at home, I felt guilty for being at home, and you just feel guilty about everything. And so once you use the tools and figured out kind of how you're hardwired and learn about yourself, then you have to become okay with it. Mm-hmm. You have to become accepting of who you are. And I don't know if that's something that just comes in your mid-30s. Surely wish it was something I could have got in my 20s. I've talked to so many other women that, you know, at some point in time, you know, I really wish I would have had this epiphany of, I mean, it would have saved me so many ridiculous diets. And I will never diet again. Because I, you know, that there's just this ridiculous, I want to be healthy. Don't get me wrong. Right. I want to be healthy. But, I'm just not going to look like, and I'm going to show my age here, but I'm not going to look like Cindy Crawford, because she was like the icon of my, for my youth. But, I'm not going to look like her. So I'm stopping trying, and I'm kind of happy with who I am. And that's, again, what is it that I need to be for me? And I need to be healthy. But I need to recognize this is the vessel I have for this life. So mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with it.
Right. I think that is one of the beautiful things about getting a little bit older and having that perspective, that we don't realize, you know, when we're in our teens and our 20s even, 30 and 40 and 50, we think, what could possibly be good about those years? It's just downhill after 25 or something.
Right.
But it's so true, just getting comfortable in our own skins, because then we're happy. We're just happier. We're happier with everything. We're not trying so hard to be something that we're not. And even to figure out who we are in that process, we're starting to really get to know ourselves and to be happy with who we are and the bodies that we were given in this lifetime and be okay with that and realize, like you said, we're not going to maybe, for most of us, be supermodels, and we might not be Julia Childs in the kitchen and Cindy Crawford in a bathing suit and, you know, some high-powered, perfect everything all the time, but we are what we are and who we are, and we're doing the best we can. And so just to have that level of comfort and compassion and gentleness with ourselves to say, it's okay. You know, like you saying about dinner time, it's okay. And I could see where people would judge. You know, we judge each other so harshly sometimes. But you have found other ways. You've admitted where things in your life, you know, your own preferences, your own best ways of being, and you found other ways to be fully present based on that, but in a way that serves everybody, and to be okay with that and not let the judgments of others send you into some sort of spiral. And that's the gift, I think, of perspective and of self-awareness and of sometimes just getting a little bit older.
And I wish that for every person, every woman that I come across. And I try really hard also not to judge women who decide they want to practice law part-time. I don't practice part-time, but if they do practice part-time, I'm very careful that, you know, I don't want to let myself be the, oh, she's a mommy lawyer. You know, she's not a real lawyer, she's a mommy lawyer, because there's a lot of that going out there. And I want to be supportive of women in their choices, whatever they may be, because everyone makes the choices that's best for them. And I think in my early 30s, I stopped living my if only world, my if only life. Because I would always say, if only I could, and then fill in the blank, then I would be happy. If only I could lose 20 pounds. If only I could, you know, make partner in 7 years. If only I could get this bonus. If only I could win whatever, you know, then I'll be happy. But there's always another if only. So if I challenge anyone who's got the if only syndrome going on in their head to really do some serious self-reflection. Because if you've got the if, it's good to have goals, but not to tie those goals to happiness. Or if it, or if only blah 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 happens, then I'll be okay.
Yeah, it can be a long wait between where we are now and if only, because if only rarely happens sometimes. It just
and then if it does happen, what I found was I would get there and then there'd be another if only.
Always. Something to replace it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and something that's probably even loftier.
Yes.
and a harder push. So it's so true, just that finding that way to be grateful for where you are right now and celebrate where you are right now, because all of us, the very fact that we're attorneys is something to be so proud of, and that we made it through law school and the bar exam, and, you know, maybe we have children or partners or relationships or all sorts of other things that we've accomplished in our lives that are huge and that we have a lot to celebrate. And so sometimes we get so caught up, as you said, in the if-onlys, that we forget how wonderful we are, you know, how much we can pat ourselves on the back for what we have accomplished and what we have yet to accomplish in our careers and in our lives. But I think it's very much worth saying and thinking about is, are we living in an if-only world? Are we waiting for something else outside of ourselves or to make us happy or to happen before we can feel happy, instead of just being happy and finding reasons and ways to be happy right now?
And it's all about, I think you even said this phrase, becoming comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And with where you are today. And it's not easy. And sometimes I still struggle with it from time to time. I'm not going to hide the ball on that one. Heavens knows. I'm not missing my appointment with my colorist because I am not okay with the grays in my hair. I will say that. That's not what I mean by being comfortable in your own skin, like saying, okay, I've got gray hair and that's wonderful. No, I'm getting it colored. But it's more of being okay with my, I don't know, with the things about myself that you're really not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things about how we're hardwired are not going to change.
And about making those decisions, I mean, about your colorist, you know, it feels like it's probably more about you and what you want to see in the mirror when you get ready in the morning versus thinking, oh my goodness, what will Susie Q think or what will so-and-so think, or, you know, being so externally driven. Maybe there's always a little bit in there because we feel sort of prematurely gray at this point. But at the same time, I struggle with the same thing. But still, it's more about I don't like seeing it for myself. I don't feel ready to be at that point. It's not so much about what I'm afraid others are going to think, but about what I just want to think about me. And I think sometimes we can make those little shifts about just thinking, why do I want to exercise or get in shape? Well, it's not so much about what others think. Again, I think there's always a little bit of that, maybe, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's more about I want to feel healthy. I want to look, when I look in the mirror, I want to be pleased with what I see. It's not really right. about anybody else. And it's a fine line, but it's an important one.
And, you know, with the image, children help so much with that. And I don't mean that they helped the way I look physically, but my daughter thinks I am beautiful.
That's right.
And she tells me that. Mm-hmm. Now, she's six now, so when she's 10, we may have a different conversation. But, and, you know, if she can look at me like that, surely I can give myself a little bit of credit, right?
That's right.
And because maybe they do have some rose-colored glasses toward their mommy, but still, it's, you know, here's someone else who thinks I'm wonderful. I've got to have that thought about myself as well.
That's right. Others sometimes see so much more in us than we allow ourselves to see about ourselves. And I think you're exactly right. We just need to listen to those sweet words, be they from our children or our parents or our friends or our spouses or partners, whoever it is that does reflect back that part of ourselves that other people see that we don't see when we look in the mirror sometimes, and open ourselves up to that praise and that loving that's coming toward us. It can make everything feel a lot better and look a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Kim, and I think we've wound around, so let me know, you know, if you feel like you've shared on some of these questions a little bit, but I'm wondering in terms of the big lessons, and I know we touched on a little bit of this, but if you were to name your biggest lesson, what would that be over the course of your journey?
Well, I've talked about, you know, making sure that I understand myself.
Right.
But the other big lesson that I have learned is what works today may not work tomorrow. And, you know, I have a plan at, you know, for kind of my professional life and my personal life, but I think I'm starting to get good at recognizing the warning signs of when the current plan isn't functioning anymore. Whether it's our schedule at home with the nanny, and my husband works full time, so whether he's getting home at a certain time and finding himself very overwhelmed because the kids are, you know, he's having to do some laundry because someone else didn't do laundry, and he's getting, you know, aggravated and irritated and frustrated, or whether it's recognizing that I have too much at the office and I need to add somebody, or recognizing, you know, that the client base that I have now is not really the client base that I thought it was going to be, so I need to, you know, make some changes there. But I like to have a strategy in place, and I'm a planner, and I think a lot of women out there, we like to have a plan. And put your plan in place, but be cognizant of when life has changed and your plan's not working anymore, and be okay with going back to the whiteboard and figuring out a new plan. And that's actually the approach I've taken to childcare since I've had my children. This is what is working for us right now. And it's what works for our family and our situation. And we have had times when we've had to go back to the drawing board because it's just not working anymore. And being able to step back and, you know, not be like, yes, we have to do it this way because I'm the one who decided it had to be this way. I think I've let the fact that I made a decision that worked well for a while and now it's not working anymore, and it wasn't the wrong decision at the time, but now I need to change the game plan up a little bit, and we need to do things a little bit differently. So knowing that what works today might not work tomorrow, I think it applies to a lot. And we change and our priorities sometimes change, and what we want sometimes changes. Sometimes it's because you have a baby, and I have some very dear friends who, when they were on maternity leave, knew they could not go back to work. Mm. And it was okay for them to go back to the drawing board and figure out how their family was going to look, because maybe they weren't going to have two working parents anymore, because she knew that for herself she could not go back to work. And that's what their decision was. And then some people, you know, you get laid off from work. There's been tons of layoffs in Atlanta for lawyers. And if nothing else, that'll tell you that what's working today isn't going to work tomorrow. Mm. And just being able to go back with a fresh mind and do a new plan. But first you got to recognize the warning signs of it's not working anymore, and not get so far gone that you feel like you've lost it too far.
That's right, exactly. I love the reminder and the advice that you're giving about just remaining flexible, but even, as you said, before that, to be evaluating so that, like you said, it's not all completely gone, but, you know, and irreparable,
yeah.
But you can do some evaluation along the way, be it childcare or scheduling or even things you're doing in your practice. Almost schedule in, or at least be thoughtful about creating a time to evaluate. And so you know what's working and you know what's not. Maybe you can fix what's broken. Maybe you can't, but you can do it all before that everything falls apart.
Right. And my big lesson with this was my husband. And he was taking on the nighttime role with the kids. And so he was handling dinner and he wasn't cleaning up. I'm not giving him that credit. I would come home and the kitchen would be a complete and total wreck. And then he was handling bath time and bedtime. Well, anyone who's put young children to bed knows that's actually a pretty stressful process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was extremely busy at work, and we recognized that he was just getting cranky and ill all the time. And I'm like, okay, we've got to step back, reevaluate. Why are you cranky and ill? And he was just so stressed out and frustrated, so we had to do some schedule changes. And I'm like, I will handle this for a few weeks while you get through what you need to get through. And I wish I could say, I've been married for almost 14 years, and I wish I could say that, you know, after 14 years he knew to tell me when he was feeling that way, but he doesn't. And he probably never will, and that's okay. It's my job to recognize that he's feeling a little stressed out, and so we need to change something.
Well, just as we're probably slow to admit our own stress, and sometimes we don't even see it. We don't even realize how stressed out and short we're being.
Mm-hmm.
When you can recognize that in someone else and gently say that you're noticing it and that it is clear that that's going on, it's probably a relief because, A, he might not have known it, and B, it gives him that opportunity to take a step back and do what he needs to do and have the space to do what he needs to do to come back and be more fully present. So, go ahead.
And when you have two working spouses that are working full-time with full careers, you know, something's got to give it sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be with the children a lot, but he also, I recognize that he needs to have things that he enjoys, and I need to have things that I enjoy. And that's something I think that has just come with us figuring out what it is we both need to be happy.
And that's exactly just that self-knowledge that you talked about earlier, knowing what it takes to make you happy, and being willing to give that to yourself and not feel guilty about it and not make excuses for not doing it, but really taking care of yourself and giving yourself what you need and making sure that each other has the space to do that as well, and then remaining flexible and remaining in tune with one another to keep track of what's going on with the other person and help them out when maybe they're a little off track and might not even know it.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I realized was one of the things that I like to do is I like to take care of people. And I do that through my job, but I like to make sure that my husband's taken care of. And I want to make sure that he's happy. And if it means that he needs to go for a guy's weekend or whatever, then I want to make sure that I do what he needs to have done to do it. Now, what I don't like to see with some folks I know is then, okay, well, then I get a girl's weekend. And that's you can't have that tit for tat. That gets into some strange bitterness and resentment issues. But it actually makes me happy that he's happy. So that's kind of, again, you gotta know what makes you tick. If going to the spa makes you really, really happy, then you should go to the spa. Mm-hmm. I don't go to the spa, though. I don't like the spas. Isn't that strange?
It's hard for me to imagine, but I respect that. I'm not going to judge.
Thank you. I like to go watch football teams practice. How's that?
And again, far from my experience, but I respect you.
and it's why I want to tell people out there
right.
that you've got to figure out. I mean, for years I did go to the spa and go shopping. I really despise shopping,
yeah,
and I finally don't do it anymore. And everybody's like, oh, let's go shopping. And for years I would go, and I just really did not enjoy it. But that's what women do, and I was supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I go to football practices.
You know, it's whatever makes you tick. But that's the thing, and being okay with that, you know. So if somebody thinks you're crazy for not going shopping and getting a massage, if you want to stand there or sit there and go to a football practice, and that's what clears your head and makes you feel revitalized, then that's what matters. And I just love what you're saying about knowing yourself and not letting anyone or anybody's thoughts or judgments stand in the way of you doing what works really for you and for your family, because you're the one who knows what's best for yourself and for the ones you love and that you're responsible for. And so it's very empowering just to give yourself permission to do what works for you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm wondering, as we're sort of winding up, Kim, do you have two or three or quick tips, or do you feel like we've sort of talked about a few of them? I'm just wondering if there's any little practical things that you found have worked really well for you and your family, maybe to help make the schedules easier or make something a little bit easier. Are there any quick tips you'd like to share?
I'm very scheduled, and I have a very structured household, but I'm a very structured person. So that's kind of, you know, again, knowing yourself. I find that technology is a beautiful thing. And so for scheduling, everything's on my calendar. If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't happen. And my husband, you know, we're able to, you know, share calendars. And so that's helpful as well. I do, you know, a couple of things that I mentioned before, I do think folks should have some type of assessment on kind of how they're hardwired, whether it's DISC or Myers-Briggs or a coach or a therapist or whatever. I really think people should do that. And then my last tip would be to recognize when things aren't working. Recognize when things aren't working. Oh, no, one more tip.
That's great. It's
either time or money. One of those two things. Just about everything I have found in life comes down to time or money. Either it's going to take you a lot of time or it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're prioritizing, you know, think about that. And I had a woman partner tell me when I first started practicing and found out I was pregnant in my first year of practice that she was like, if you're going to continue your practice of law, you're going to spend a lot of money on child care. And I thought that was just cold and mean and presumptuous. It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It is. Yep.
It's true. And I've gone back and tried to tell her, you were right. Sorry. I hated you at the time, but you were right.
That's right. But it is. I mean, there are those things that we pay for, and it's a trade-off sometimes. And sometimes we need to be willing to pay for things that will make our life easier. Like you were talking about child care. You know, there's great child care and there's sort of substandard child care. And, you know, what's your priority? And then sometimes you have to spend money to make sure your priorities are being met in that way. And it's worth it. You know, there's things that are just worth spending money on and to be mindful of that. And like you said, even ways that can make your life easier if people can afford a housekeeper or can't afford mm-hmm. different services. Yes, it costs some money, but how much time do you save that either enables you to spend more quality time with your family and the ones you love, or maybe it's time that you can spend on work if that's, you know, something that it opens up time for. But whatever it is, chances are good that it's worth whatever you'd be paying a housekeeper, $20, $30 an hour, who knows, but it's worth it. It's worth it. So be mindful of spending a little money to gain back some time. And I just think it's a great reminder. Thank you for pointing that out.
And it's, you know, and there's trade-offs, though. There's trade-offs when you spend money. And I personally spend money on domestic help, as I call it, I guess, to people that help with all the wifely things that I don't actually do, or the stereotypical wife things that I don't do. But then again, I don't take lavish vacations. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to go shopping, so I'm not.
Well, that helps.
Support.
That helps a lot.
So that, you know, that frees up the money on that. Like, we're not going to Europe on vacation. We go camping. Because that's, you know, that's what our budget allows, and that's what is more, we actually have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I have other friends who don't want to spend the money on domestic, but yet they go to Europe every year. So you got to figure out what works for you. And surely don't go to Europe just because everybody else is going to Europe.
Right. Exactly. It goes back to that point of knowing what works for you. And if camping works for you, then don't go to Europe.
Don't go to Europe, you know?
Right. And exactly. And then, you know, maybe you have, like you said, it's a trade-off. Maybe then you have the finances to find that domestic support that you need. And just finding ways to spend money that makes your life the way you want it to be and not spending it just because that's the way you feel like you should be spending it to meet up with somebody else's standards. Kim,
yeah,
this is,
so
oh, go ahead, go ahead.
You gotta get comfortable in your own skin, and you gotta know yourself and figure, do that serious self-reflection to figure out what those things are, though.
Exactly. Take the time, because it's time so well invested getting to know yourself. And it sounds, you know, maybe strange or maybe cheesy or maybe, you know, I don't need to take time to do that. But seriously, it is just knowing yourself, like you said, having that perspective, however old you are, but being able to look at yourself, get comfortable with yourself, love yourself for who you are, accept your strengths and your weaknesses and your quirks and everything about you, it makes life so much easier, so much more enjoyable, and so much better balanced in that case, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we come full circle with that, with, you know, the whole, I think what you were looking for in the beginning was, how do you balance? Mm-hmm. And you balance based on what's important to you.
Exactly, exactly. That personal version of success that you brought it out with right at the beginning. I appreciate so much of your, I really appreciate your time, your wisdom, what you've shared, your honesty, your humor. It's just been great talking with you, Kim. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much.
And Kim, real quick before we go, actually, as we close out, would you like to share your website or any way that folks might connect with you in the future, or just what you're working on?
Absolutely. Well, what I do is I represent businesses and their owners and just about anything that they may need. Most of my clients, well, all my clients are smaller, mid-sized companies or owners of smaller, mid-sized companies. And folks can find me on the Internet at www.childs-law.com, and that's childs-law.com. And my email address is on the website, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone. If anyone's in the Atlanta area, go to lunch with them if they would like.
Great. Oh, Kim, that's great information. I encourage anyone listening to connect with Kim and check out her website, see what she's doing, and maybe meet up with her in Atlanta for lunch. It sounds like fun. I wish I weren't so far away in Minnesota. And maybe I'll be in Atlanta sometime, and we'll get together and do lunch too.
Please do that. Please do that.
Oh, I would love to. Kim, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And to everyone here on the call and who's listening or reading these words, I thank you for taking the time and, as Kim suggested, taking the time to reflect a little bit on yourself, your priorities, getting to know yourself a little bit better, being comfortable in your own skin. It's really the foundation and the key and the best start to creating balance in your life. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.